Greetings and welcome to the Wednesday Rewind here at Believers City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead preaching pastor here at Believers Church. And each week we gather here to rewind our previous Sunday service. This time we attempt to do so in dialogue, in a discussion-based scenario. As around our region this evening, we have small community gatherings, to assemble and review and discuss what we talked about on our Sunday message. And they do so seeking to apply its message into their own lives and into their living. If you're local, you are probably listening to 101.7 FM Street Level Radio. And if you're further away, you're probably listening and watching via the internet, maybe watching regional TV too. But no matter how you got here, we are certainly glad that you are with us. Our message last Sunday was entitled, Reminding You Always, with a text from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. Let's get into it.
They had it all, and then they essentially threw it all away. We tend to take the high road, and we want to believe that we would never do such a thing. Yet, for those of us that are believers this morning, those of us that live our lives in faith, we know that same story is played out spiritually speaking around us every day. The rest of us, walked with Christ for any amount of time, the rest of us kind of stand back on this side of those disastrous accident scenes, and we're kind of like, you know, a deer in the headlights. We're kind of standing there in expressions of shock and awe, because again, for many of us, it seems just absolutely inconceivable, doesn't it, that people that have been rescued from the wrath of God, that tasted the sweetness of the Spirit, that have been granted eternal salvation, that have been given a spiritual family that loves them despite all of their past transgressions, it just seems inconceivable that they would ever forget the one who at such great cost brought it all about. And we know it because certainly anybody who has attended here for any amount of time, we've seen it. We don't need to look out there. We don't need to look at the other churches and go, look out there. No, we can just keep our eyes right here in this fellowship. This is something that has played out for years. People who have, you know, been, they played ball, they were around, they were here, but eventually they took a walk. Sadly, this morning, I've shared this before, that after pushing 40 years of ministry, what haunts you, Pastor Tim? The battlefield of dead bodies. Peter, verse 16, seems to want everyone to understand that what he had given his life to was not merely a belief system. It wasn't merely some sort of Sunday go-to-meeting religion. Peter had dedicated his life to something that he declared was a fact. And he knew that this was a fact. Why? Because he was there. When someone chooses to dispute God's voice as presented here in the scripture, please note that Paul is willing to absolutely throw down concerning him. He will go so far as to sentence him to anathema. You know what that? Listen, that's some language, man. That means accursed in the sight of God. Galatians 1:8. Peter, he was willing to stake his life and literally stake his legacy on this Jesus and what Jesus said and how Jesus lived. We that have followed, many of us have been willing to do the same. Some of you are in that situation even now. You're making choices in your life that is rejecting a lot of the other things of the world so that you might live out, kind of channel the Apostle Peter here. In our pride, we forget that God in Christ has forgiven us. so we in our flesh fail to forgive others. We get depressed and we get angry and we lose hope. We become joyless and then we just settle into a life of mediocrity. You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed, and here it is, and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. We have believed and have come to gnosko. Go. He believed that day when Jesus came along and called him from the, as they were fishing with their father, and they sat down their nets and followed Jesus. But he came to know by walking beside Jesus that he was who he said he was.
On our previous Sunday, we began by giving some examples of those who, either out of sheer talent or out of sheer luck, maybe, were able to claw their way out of poverty, out of a social adversity, to ultimately find riches and fame. And we mentioned when we were discussing that how often those very same individuals, and usually sooner than later, ultimately threw it all away on extravagant living and gratuitous toys, and eventually they lost all their friends, they even lost their family. It seemed they had it all, and then it was gone. Now, sadly, that same story is actually played out spiritually around us every day. Often, the one who came the farthest, the one who had been rescued out of extreme crisis, out of perhaps the deepest depth of sin, ironically, is the one who eventually kicks the church to the curb and rejects those who were instrumental to their salvation and their growth, and not to mention their blessing. They found themselves in the position of being the dog who returned to its vomit, as the Bible speaks, the washed pig who returns to the mud. Somewhere and somehow they forgot. And they lost it all. And you know, all such stories really are indictments on our tendency to forget. It's amazing that we need to be repeatedly reminded of how blessed we are in Christ. What a commentary on the heart of humanity. I mean, the worst part of all of this is that while we may not understand ourselves, Satan, however, understands us perfectly. And that understanding, he takes and incorporates that into his attacks against us. He is, as I said on Sunday, the master of the long con. And as long as he eventually triumphs, he seems to care little as to how long it took to get there. On our own, we tend to forget. And it seems we can go down in a blaze simply because of one bad day. Suddenly everything is gone, years of relationship, memories gone. Like Peter, the night in the garden, we are quick to claim, not me. Oh, no, 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 I would never do that. I'll die first. But we know how that scene ended for Peter, don't we? So what is the problem? How exactly does this happen? I mean, recently on a Sunday message, if you recall, we talked about our innate ability to hear but not listen. I mean, what I mean by that is we hear a vocal noise and yet we fail to ever truly internalize what is being said. certainly it's almost, I don't know, childlike, if you will, in our dealings in this manner. And again, what a sad testament concerning humanity corporately, not to mention a sad testament about each one of us individually. Peter clearly was one of those cradle-to-the-grave pastors. And what I mean by that is he was clearly trying to get these folks not just to rebirth, but from their rebirth to the finish line and to get in there in one piece. And to do that, Peter needed to get them grounded. He needed to get them firm, strong, stable. That didn't and doesn't come through simple church attendance or some sort of, I don't know, religious morality. That only comes through dying to self and living for the King. It only comes from an all-in commitment because, look, the storms are going to come, gang, not if, but when. And one must be rooted deep in order to survive that typhoon. And that was Peter's message. Now, as we've emphasized throughout this letter, and really even the last, this letter, 2 Peter, this was Peter's last. We know that soon after he penned this letter that we're reading, Peter would be executed. History tells us he would be crucified. And he was crucified because he was an unmovable Christian. He could have backed out, he could have ran, he could have refuted, he could have denied. But he didn't, and Peter apparently realized that he still had one more chance here to preach, and he was going to take a shot. Clearly, Peter wanted a legacy. He wanted to continue to speak and speak the truth after he was gone. And I guess he was successful because here 2,000 years later, after he left, we're still reading his mail. It's interesting that as we read it, though, it seems clear that Peter was unfazed by all that was going on, including what was coming. Why? Because, gang, he had seen it. He had witnessed the power. He had witnessed the miraculous, all of the subtleties of walking up close and personal with the Son of God. They could kill him, but they could never take that away from him. He had been there for it all. And besides his very salvation, the one thing that Peter was leaving with was the story. You see, he had the story. He had all the memories intact. And Jesus in John 6 asked the 12, do you want to go away as well? For the masses, they were leaving. They were walking away when times got tough. And disciples, he addressed them saying, do you want to go away as well? But Peter, he was the one to speak up. And he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, he said. And we have believed, this is Peter's words, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. When Peter came to follow Christ, we know he believed. And we have believed. But by the time he left this planet, Peter had come to know. That kind of knowledge is never found simply by coming to church on Sunday morning, sitting in a pew. It happened for Peter. It happens for us by actually engaging the gospel, by participating in the mission with Christ.
You know, it's harder to forget something when it happens to you personally. I guess there are just simply some things that one is never going to forget.